1 Corinthians chapter 7, in this chapter, the apostle is speaking to this church at Corinth regarding marriage and those that are unmarried and such as that. And he says this statement, he makes this statement here about what's going on at that time. And he says in verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that is good for a man so to be. The churches of the Lord and the situation of persecution upon them at this time was such that there, among the saints of God, there was a necessity to hold back on the cares of life and the pursuits of life and to focus upon our Lord and what His calling upon the people of God are. And he refers, he mentions this and says this, that his advice about this of marriage, that was the particular thing that he had been asked about and that he was telling them about then. He says, I suppose that this is good for the present distress. There was a need at hand. There was something that was upon the church at that hand that the normal fare of life, his advice was, is to hold back from that and look to the Lord. And look to the Lord and following the Lord. The present distress, he says, the present distress, I say that is good for a man so to be. His directive from the Lord and the inspired scriptures of the Lord, even though Paul at times says that I don't have this from the Lord, but I'm giving you my opinion, it's still in the inspired scriptures. I find that interesting. But he says, because of what we have at hand, what I have advised you is what we ought to do. What I want to preach about this morning, I pray the Lord will bless in it, is our present distress. Our present distress. Our president issued an edict via the Department of Education and the Department of Justice that those who think their gender is different than the gender they were born with are allowed to use any restroom that makes them comfortable. He did that on Friday. And here it is. 8-page document with supporting 20-some page document saying that this is the way the Department of Education is going to look at this issue and this is what the Department of Justice is going to pursue. Somebody that thinks that they just think or feel that their gender is different than the gender that they were born with, if they're uncomfortable using a bathroom in a public school that is assigned to their physical gender, that they may use the other bathroom, the other locker room. It's wide open. Title IX and the federal code makes it so that this is the way this ought to be. There it is. We can read it for ourselves. It takes no care to the effect on other people and how that would affect them, because it states in there that even though this kind of action in this kind of way would make others feel uncomfortable, that's not enough to stop it. That we must cater. We must cater as a society in our public schools to this felt need of these people, these very few people in our land that think this. An edict via the Department of Education, the Department of Justice, that those who think that their gender is different than the gender they were born with are allowed to use any restroom that makes them comfortable. The thinking and behavior of transsexualism is evil and wicked. Let that be known. It's an evil, it is evil, and it is wicked. I want you to turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's very plain. These things are wicked and sinful against our Lord. He says here, enlisted in these, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those that would look to behave differently from the gender that they have been given. A man looking to behave and to operate like a woman, or even physically change themselves to be like a woman. It's abomination and wickedness before God. It's sin against God. It's clear. It's clear in the scriptures. It says abusers of themselves with mankind. You know, nothing is just stands by itself. And this of sodomy and lesbianism, it's wickedness and abomination against God. And there are other things that go along with it. Those that would say, well, you know, the sodomites, and I refuse to call them homosexuals. That is the medical definition of where they're at. But that's not the Lord's or the medical term. But the Lord calls them sodomites, and that's what they are. And I don't think that we ought to venture off into using vernacular of the day that's derogatory towards them, other things that that many seek to call them. I don't think we should use that. I think we should use what our Lord calls them. They're sodomites, and it's wicked and evil before the Lord. They're not gay, because they're certainly not happy, and they don't look to make anyone happy. That's what that word means. Don't be lulled into the way of the world and the vernacular of the world to take a thing that is wicked and evil and put a light covering or a light name on it. They're not gay. They're sodomites and they're lesbians, and it's wicked and sinful against God Almighty. Okay? And so let that be known. That's what the Lord says so. These that are effeminate, along with others, these that are abusers of themselves with mankind, which is speaking of sodomy and lesbianism, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, praise the Lord, verse number 11 is so. And that's the way it is with the scripture. It always gives the bad and the dark and that which needs to be seen and understood by men. And then the truth is told about the help that is there in Christ. Salvation is the soul. And such were some of you. You know what? Folks can be saved from these things. They can be saved out of these things. And they will change these things. They will not pursue on in this wickedness from which our Lord saves them. The thinking and behavior of transsexualism is evil and wicked before God. Number two, the support and validation of this thinking and behavior is evil and wicked. Maybe one does not agree with it, but to support it and to validate it is wicked, just as wicked as that. It promotes a thing that is not true. It promotes a thing that is against God. Romans chapter 1. The scripture is very clear. Romans chapter 1. And these are going to be familiar. I pray they are familiar to you. If they're not, then praise the Lord for revealing and showing this to each one this morning. Let's pick it up in verse number 25. These that defy and deny God Almighty, they dishonor themselves, verse number 25, who change the truth of God into a lie. And listen, that's the issue. Taking the truth that God has said is the truth and saying, no, that's a lie. You're not really a male if you don't want to be. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. It's a lie from the depravity and wickedness of man. It is a lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Okay, there's another point. Many messages are in the content of all these scriptures. That's... we have stood up, mankind has said, and we know better than our Creator knows. But no, our Creator has created us. We are the created, and we are to look to the Creator and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It is against nature. It is against nature for someone that is born a man to think or to change or pursue to change into being a woman. It will not be. Oh, they may feign it. They may pursue it. But against God, it's diabolical and wicked. Because God, the truth is God made them a male, or God made them a female, as we'll see in the scriptures. Change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Sodomy is wicked and abominable before the Lord. Lesbianism is too, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. It goes on to say in verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And that's another point. They don't want the knowledge of God because the knowledge and the wisdom of God says He's created us male and female. And that's the way it is, and there's reasons for that. And He's made the holy institution of marriage, ordained by God to be the place where children should be brought into this world and reared and raised up so that society might prosper and might continue on. But from sodomy and lesbianism, they have to kidnap their own. And I mean it when I say that. They have to kidnap their children. They have to go and adopt them. Or they have to, by artificial insemination, have their own children. So they can go ahead and pursue and promote their wicked way in them. There'll be no end. If everybody follows on the way of the sodomite and the lesbian, society will die. There will be no one. And very well that might fit in with the plan with the population controllers, mightn't it? It goes on to say, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Every thought is wickedness and against God. Listen, this is important. This issue and this thing has come down right down here to where you and I live. Right here where our children are living. It's arrived. It's more than on our doorstep. It's in our schools. And it affects our children. A reprobate mind God has given men over to do those things which are not convenient. Verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. That's the issue at hand, isn't it? Anything that is godly, anything that speaks of righteousness, is pushed away, done away with, pushed out. Why is it that all the monuments in our nation, as they're being renovated or have been renovated over the last 20 years, the scriptures that were so prevalent have been removed with the remodel? Quietly done. And our conservative election officials just allow it to be. They allow it to be. Well, give them that. It won't matter. Oh, yeah, it's mattered, folks. It's mattered, brothers and sisters. It goes on to say here, boasters, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. This is an invention of man, that someone can believe that they are a different gender than what they've been born. It's an evil thing that has been invented by man. It's an evil, wicked thing. It goes on to say, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's another thing that's just reflected in the schools. Without understanding, verse 31, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, Paul writes, and God declares unto us that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Just want to promote that someone has a wild, outlandish idea about their gender being different than what it physically is. Well, go ahead, help yourself, they say. Go ahead. Sounds good. Let's see how that plays out. It says in Genesis, rather, chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Period. Period. It's not up for debate. Not up for change. And the Lord Jesus Christ agrees to it too. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Jesus didn't say that there was a bi or a moratorium on the way that the Lord created the genders. Jesus says that's the way he did it. And that's the way it is. I tell you what, I am angry. But I tell you what, I'm afraid. I'm afraid more than that. Amen? Listen, this is the spirit of Antichrist. It is. Oh, those of our elected officials most likely are not the Antichrist, but indeed this is the spirit of Antichrist. And Daniel, our brother, writes in the book of Daniel chapter 7, speaking about Antichrist, the man of sin, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. And see, that's what this is. These words in this document are words against the Most High's design. They're against him. They affect us, but they are against him. They are against him. His design is being questioned. His way and his truth that he has ordained from the beginning of the creation is being looked to be thwarted and changed by men in this. This is against him. It is the spirit of Antichrist. Great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And that's where we're at. It's lined up to wear us out. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and to think to change times and laws. What you and I have known marriage to be all of our lives, according to the Supreme Court, is no longer marriage. That's against God. That's against the law of God. It's wicked. It's wickedness against God. Goes on to say, to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, a dividing of time. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And this is a spirit that's at hand. The spirit of transsexualism, the spirit of sodomy, the spirit of lesbianism, it just floats and it goes in our society and our education system and the popular culture. And it just keeps pressing, just keeps pressing, just keeps pressing. You know what? If we don't fill ourselves with the Word of God and submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, even as the saints of God, we can begin to say, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's okay not to say anything about it. Maybe it's just okay that they go ahead, long as they don't bring it over here to where we're at. If that's the way it is with diabolical behavior and pursuits, it's going to come over here to where we're at. It's going to be. And it's done it. And it's done it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going into the world. We've got a new idea here. Someone, if they want to be a woman that wants to she thinks she's a man and dress like a man and pursue like a man, you know, she can just go right ahead. It's a spirit that's not of God. Women are to be women. Men are to be men. And God has given us the directive in His Scripture about how we're to do to pursue such. Indeed, this is overreach by the president and the federal government to the most gross and highest extent. It is. It indeed is. To say that our children in their schools, children that need to be taught, children that need to be guided, children that the Lord tells us that foolishness is bound in their heart, you know so because you were a child once. And praise God for godly parents that would instruct you in the way of righteousness, even though you don't want to have anything to do with it. Thank God for society that was influenced by the Word of God and said, no, this is not going to be. We're not going to put up with this because it's wrong, it's wicked, it's against God, even though they might not even profess faith in Christ. And we're going to allow them to make decisions like this. Some indeed are persuaded in their minds that this is the case. But you know what? There'll be others that'll just go along just to try it out. You know, that's happening in colleges. It's happening in universities. Try to find a way to say it. Just go pursue the thrill. However you can obtain the thrill, go ahead and have at it. After all, this is college. This is university. So if you want to fornicate, well, go ahead and fornicate. If you want to go the sodomy route, go ahead and try that out. You want to go the lesbian route, go ahead and try that out. You want to just go ahead and see what it's like to be transsexual, go ahead and try it out. It's wickedness. It's a depravity Depravity has overtaken us. This overreach by the president, the federal government, is gross indeed, and it's overreached to the highest extent to touch our children this way. This tramples the will of the people in the states of our nation. States do have rights. And the proponents for federal rights and a federal oversight, even to this extent, Lord help, it's no good. States have voted to change their constitution to establish what marriage is in their state. Kentucky's one of them. Feds say, nope, can't do it. Just like that. No. What's the population of Kentucky? To my shame, I don't know. Well, you figure we got 15, 20 million people, maybe more than that. We got 330,000 or 330 million in the country. Maybe the population of Kentucky might be pushing 50 million. I need to find that out. Just one judge. Psst, nope. Can't be. The people have voted. It tramples the will of the people in the states of our nation. It is not. Is this not a country of representative government? A representative republic? Is there not the principle of democracy and the operation and voting that takes place in our government? We, the people in Kentucky, voted that marriage is between a man and a woman. But we're told, nope, you cannot have it that way. You cannot have it that way. Many states have spoken out regarding these moral issues, but the federal government has transitioned into our moral dictator. That is what's happened. The feds dictate to the states and to the people of our land what morality will be. But the thing is, we've got a leadership. With the leadership of such, of the federal government, the leadership in this federal government are such that they have no godly morals themselves. They've got humanism and paganism and willfulness and denying of God. How can they? Well, isn't that what's happened? Relativism. You make your own reality. We look at someone and they say, I'm 6 feet tall and I'm beautiful, and I've got $1 million in the bank, and they're not 6 feet tall, and they're ugly like me, and they don't have $1 million in the bank, but they create their own reality. And that's accepted. That's what's going on here. Not the reality that we physically live, but create your own. They operate in principle and pursuit And their plans and their ways said, well, this has got to work. After all, I thought of it. And it pushes us into debt, double the debt that we had before this administration. And what do we have for it? Our children encumbered for their lifetimes. Lord, help us. The federal government is not qualified to be our moral dictator. Politicians take stands. Our own president has done so. Take stands while running for office and then change when in office. No character, no integrity. It's wicked. It is wicked indeed. To change the moral standards given to us by God Almighty for the protection of the genders and that have stood for millennia is sin against God. He's given us the way that we need to have our bathrooms. He's done that. And it's just by the precept in his scripture. And when it comes down to privacy issues like that, men don't need to go to the restroom with women. Men don't need to go to the restroom with little girls. And women don't need to go to the restroom with little boys. And Brother Jim, well, we take our children, we take our grandchildren to the restroom. Am I talking about that? I'm talking about strangers. Unknown. People with no connection whatsoever. It's given us stability in our land. It's protected our young people, our children, from the ravages of those that would seek to do them harm. And to change the moral standards given to us by God for the protection of the genders, and these have stood for millennia, is sin against God. Marriage worked very well for a lot of years, didn't it, between a man and a woman. And understand, I don't believe that that's changed. But I say that tongue in cheek about what the Supreme Court has decided. This issue of transsexualism and the Supreme Court's ruling on marriage indeed are sin against God Almighty. It's going against what He has said. That's where the problem. Not that it's going against what you and I believe, which it does, but it's going against what our Lord has said. Words spoken against the Almighty, as Brother Daniel writes. To inflict such wide-ranging changes on every public school district in the land to accommodate the feelings of such a minuscule number of persons is indeed unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Feelings rule, and facts and truth are trampled. In Isaiah 59, verse number 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. With the minds of our leadership and the way they go, that's where we stand. The truth given to us by God is not relevant, they say. It's just the opinion of one. We know better. We know, they say, how to do so and to inflict such a wide-ranging change just to accommodate a minuscule number is indeed unreasonable. Now, let me say this. It is one thing to protect the physical rights, and there will be some that would quarrel with me about this statement. It's one thing to protect the physical rights of the citizens of our country, but to pursue to protect their feelings is outrageous. You know, whatever happened to freedom of speech, your freedom of speech ends at my nose. That's the way that it is. That's what our nation was founded upon. Now, you might say some wicked, vile things about everything, including me, but don't touch me, nor should I touch you. But now it's ventured off. It started with the hate speech stuff. That legislation some years ago, or just what somebody says. But see, isn't it strange? Isn't it strange? The hate speech only comes down on those that have a godly or a conservative viewpoint. For the liberal and the wicked, they're restrained. And well, they should be. Their thinking should be. But they're restrained, and they ought to be able to spew out anything that they want. Truth. Is fallen in the street. Physical rights of the citizenry should be protected. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, or indeed what your religion is. That's the way our country is set up. You should be free and it not be held against you to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the pursuit of happiness does not include about how you feel. It doesn't. Now, we as the children of God and all mankind are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's on us. That is on us indeed. But I tell you what, we're not to suffer wickedness and sin. Madness rules the day, doesn't it? In Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness. The Lord says, you disobey me. He gave them the listings in that chapter of the blessings. I think they run for about 15 verses. But you go against me. And it runs on for some, I think, 30-some verses about the evil that's going to come upon Israel if they disobey God. Now, understand, our nation is not Israel. But indeed, I think the principle of God is at hand for His blessing of nations and honoring of nations who honor Him. And He says, one of these things, of the many, He says, the Lord shall smite thee with madness. Crazy. Not able to think straight. Not being able to reason well, blindness, and astonishment of heart. I think we've got the astonishment of heart coming. We got a taste of it on 9/11. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. And indeed, it has blessed our nation beyond many, if not all, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's a rebuke from God for us to have sin laying at our door this way, for us to operate this way, for the people, we the people of our land, to say nothing and to not use the means that we have to stand for why it's not right. You know, why is it so hard? Don't you listen to the news, you read the newspaper, you hear different issues than that. Why is it so hard to reckon such an issue in a godly and correct way? Why is it hard? The proponents say this person needs to be accommodated and has no other devious motive. They say, they just need to be accommodated in that. All they're doing that for is themselves. You and I know full well that the pedophile and the pervert and the wicked person will jump right on this wagon to be able to take it and to abuse others. I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it? It is. Anybody with any sense jumps right to that point, that there'll be wicked men and wicked women that'll take this point and they'll just use it. They'll use it. It opens up the door of promiscuity amongst our young people in high schools and even grade schools, to where any promiscuous activity that would be pursued in a locker room or a bathroom, how could the officials say anything about it? That's a thing that, as I pondered this and thought about it, and I know it's terrible to think of that wickedness, but you and I both know where it will lead. It will lead easily to that. Well, I'll be surprised if we don't hear a report here in the within the balance of this month. And I'm not going to be any clearer than that. If you have questions about it, you can ask me. But the proponents say that a person needs to be accommodated and has no other devious motive. But anyone with sense knows that such will be used to abuse others. The extent that such a directive will be used by perverts, the licentious, the lascivious, and fornicators will be found to be incredible. They've got a sex offender registry. And anybody that's convicted of offending in that way has got to register on that so the people of the community can know that they live at a certain address. They're going to be evaluating the sex offender registry at the bathrooms of the nation? Because that'll be the next stop. Where's Target going to be when children are molested by perverts and wicked people, or women are accosted by perverts and wicked people? Where's Target going to stand up at the litigation of that? They, with their policy, having opened the door literally so it could happen. Before, it would be criminal to go into a place that you didn't belong. Where's the federal government going to be when these lawsuits come about? Criminal and civil lawsuits because of the abuse of people by perverted people that take this route to gain entrance into a place that they don't belong. Where are they going to be? Well, they're going to accuse the people yet again. It was something you did, not what we did. It's exactly the same as the gun issue, isn't it? Why is it so hard to reckon such an issue in a godly and correct way? It's just simple. You don't have men going in women's restrooms. You don't have women and girls go into men's restrooms. You know why it's so hard? Because as a nation, we're blind, just like the Lord said. We're mad and we're blind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil. Praise be to God for that. Amen. And may we pray. Pray for us, he says. Pray for us that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I tell you what, there's our key. We do need to stand, as we're going to mention here in a moment. But you know what? We need to pray our Lord to work. It's only our Lord that can solve this thing. And we need to do what's right that we have to do in our representative republic and the democracy points that we have, where we vote, where we can communicate with our lawmakers, those that represent us, about how we believe about these things. Don't tell them how you feel. Tell them what you believe. Tell them what God says. And praise be to God for this. In John 17:15, our Lord prays for us. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should deliverest them from the evil. Brother Mark brought a lesson while I was recovering in a message, and he entitled it, "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled." And I tell you what, we need to, as the Lord's people, we need to take that up. We need to know the promises of our Lord and know what he has told us to do and pursue. In John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled, our Lord Jesus says to us. You believe in God, believe also in me. In the same chapter, in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our trust is in the Lord. We grieve over our government. We grieve over these decisions. We should stand. And I tell you what, God being my helper and Lord being my helper as pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church, men, go to the men's room. And women, go to the women's room. And we all understand how it is about you taking your children or your grandchildren or your niece or your nephew, however that is, at the appropriate ages to take care of their needs. We all understand how that is. But otherwise, may we stand for what's right. May our Lord help us in that. You know what this directive says? That one that identifies as transgender? Well, I know what we can do. We can provide them their own locker room or their own bathroom. No, no, no. Not if you don't do it for everybody. We don't want their feelings to be hurt. Now listen, they are souls that need to be saved. And we should not be derogatory from the standpoint of being, railing on them and using speech towards them that is not according to the fruit of the Spirit. But I tell you what, we need to tell the truth. We need to tell the truth the way God tells the truth, and we'll be right and safe in that. Let not your heart be troubled. Who shall separate us, children of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of our Lord. And may we remember that. We can get to a point where we might despair about such things and the madness and the craziness of that. So what shall we do? We need to look to our Lord. We need to remember what he says. You know what? The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 22, 21, and they say unto him, Caesar's about the coin. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. You know, we need to obey the law of the land as long as we can obey God in it. But then when the law of the land crosses what our Lord says, we need to obey God. He goes on to say, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render unto God's the things that are God's. You know what? God has set the genders and he set marriage, and it's not an issue. It's over with. It's not up for debate or change. These words are against God. What the Supreme Court did some months ago is against God. They're words against God. We go on to consider, but remember, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God's the things that are God. But remember what the Lord says in Romans chapter 2. I want you to turn there. You're likely close. In verse number 5, listen to this. But after thy hardness, in despising the riches, the long-suffering of God, towards sinners and how the Lord did with us before he saved us. But after thy hardness, verse 5, an impenitent heart, unrepentant heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality in life, but to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. He goes on to say in verse number 10, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. What's that talking about? God's going to reckon to you. God's going to reckon to each and every one of us as we deserve. Now listen, if you hear the word of the Lord and you believe in what he says, you repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel for the salvation of your soul, Jesus has taken care of your sins. Jesus' righteousness has been imputed unto you. when the work and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ is looked upon by God the Father, if you will, and those that are saved and the saints of God, we are just, we've been justified, we've been made just as if we've never sinned. We've not accomplished this. Our Lord has accomplished it for us. But I tell you what, you disobey the gospel of God. You disobey God and His truth and His word, how the law shows you that you're guilty, how the law points you to Christ, how the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're shown in the scriptures and by the preaching of the word of God and the witness of the Lord's people and the testimony of God Himself and His word. You deny that. You deny God in that. You change His words in that. In that, you'll be judged according to your deeds and you will be utterly destroyed. It's the way it is. It's the way that it is. God will render to us too. May we render to our Lord the things that are our Lord's. Amen. Caesar, our government, the things that they're due, as long as we can obey our Lord in them. But when it crosses what the Lord says, may we render unto our Lord first and foremost. What shall we do? Render the government unto our Lord what's right, remembering He will render unto us. Next, to stand in our Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read in verse number 11. Ephesians 6, verse number 11. The scripture says, put on the whole armor of God, children of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is one of his wiles. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not a physical warfare, but against principalities and against powers. And that's what this paper represents. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what this paper and what the Supreme Court decided a few months ago represents. Wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's what we're called to do, is to stand. Stand in Christ. Stand in His truth. Stand in His word. Have the word of God in us that we might not sin against God. Know that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path all way. Knowing that our Lord is true and He is everlasting and our life does not end here, but it extends into eternity with our Lord. And may we remember that we serve Him and we walk with Him and this is not our home. We are just passing through. May we represent Him well. Stand in our Lord. It goes on to say, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, not feelings, and not the thinking and the wisdom of men, as Brother Doug brought out about the wisdom of God, but rather standing in the truth of God's wisdom and God's truth, His knowledge. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What's it say in verse 18? Praying always, with all prayer and supplication for ourselves and for our brethren and for this wicked, lost and dying world, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What are we to do? We're to stand. We're to stand, we're to equip ourselves with this armor that we've been given, and we're to stand, and the only offensive weapon that we have is that sword of the word of the Lord and the shield of faith. All other is defensive. And we're to stand with the truth of our Lord, and we see a hint here also, what we're told to do, a directive, we're to pray. What shall we do? Render unto the government and to our Lord what is due them, knowing God will render unto us too. We're to stand in our Lord, number two. And number three, we're to pray our Lord will work and save. Our Lord is the only hope for our nation. I've mentioned to you much here lately about the stewardship that we have in our citizenry. And we do have a stewardship there that we need to reckon well and be obedient to our Lord in. But the salvation of our nation and the turning of our nation from its wickedness, our wickedness, is only going to be found in salvation by the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to turn here and read this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. We need to pray our Lord will work and save. I exhort therefore, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, or those that even think they're kings and are not, for all that are in authority, indeed, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know what? Maybe our ability to lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty is being crowded because we haven't been praying for our officials as we should. Or we haven't taken an interest in the electing of our officials. Or we haven't taken an interest. I'm telling you what, I'm pointing at me too. I'm guilty of communicating with our officials and our elected leaders about the policy that they take up or the change, the way they waffle when they get into office. We need to pray. We need to pray for the leadership. You know what? We need to pray for our president and the director of this division of the Department of Justice and the director of the Division of Department of Education. We need to pray for them because they've stood up against God. They've invented this thing and taken this stand and said that they will prosecute schools that don't obey this with legislation that's already in place, laws that are already in place. They have done so against our Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we need to pray. And you know what? We need to pray as it was in the days of Hezekiah. You know, there's an example here that we have from our brother, and he had some failings. He had some things that were not right in his life. I wonder at times about Hezekiah's attitude, but you know what? He did believe in prayer to our Lord. Sennacherib has sent his We need to pray. And I want you to consider in this is what Solomon, or what the Lord told Solomon here in this very familiar verse, right? We go often to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want you to listen to what's around this verse, okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, at the dedication, the dedication of the temples, yeah, and that, okay. So he's been obedient in that, has built the temple and dedicated and all that. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, verse 12, and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, the prayer that he prayed at the dedication of the temple, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. I ask you, brothers and sisters, where is the Lord's house now? Is the principle of the Lord going to be any different regarding his house? We're not talking about this building as Olmsted Baptist Church. We're talking about you and me, the membership. We are his house. He has built us. He has fitted us together. And we're built on the foundation of the apostles and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Amen. This is what he said regarding the temple. But where's the temple? It's gone. Where are the keys of the kingdom? They're with the Lord's churches. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, there be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place, the Lord's house. I dare say that we can take this indeed and apply it to the Lord's houses in this day, his churches, his people. The principle, I believe, indeed is at hand. It goes on to say, he goes on to say in verse number 16, for now I've chosen and sanctified this house. Has the Lord sanctified Olmsted Baptist Church? Can any brethren pull out some scriptures telling me that the Lord has not sanctified Olmsted Baptist Church? Indeed, we are set apart for our Lord, aren't we? We sure are. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Has not our Lord promised he'll meet with us? Did not the Lord tell the woman at the well at Sychar in John chapter 4 that geography isn't going to matter, but the Lord's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth? Don't we seek to do that? Don't we look to the Lord's word to do that? Don't we have a promise from our Lord that he will help us to do that? Amen. Amen. We need to stand in our Lord. We need to render to our Lord and to the government what is due. We need to stand in our Lord, and we need to pray our Lord will work and save. We need to, in 2 Kings chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter 19, as I mentioned about Brother Hezekiah, we need to lay our distresses before the Lord. And 2 Kings chapter 19, verse number 14, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has sent three generals down there. One general has gone and railed, and he's railed against God. And Hezekiah, verse number 14, received the letter at the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord. Listen to how he prays. This is what we need to pray. Thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent him to reproach the living God. You know what? That's what this does. This reproaches God Almighty. This has reproached God Almighty. And you know what? We need to do what we have before us to do. But you know what? We really can't do anything. It's our Lord's going to have to do something. But you know what? It'd do us well. God doesn't need reminded of anything. But I tell you what, he's pleased when he hears from us reminding him about something. Lord, this has reproached you. We pray you'll work. We'll pray your help and deliver our children and deliver our land. He goes on to say, I sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. They were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Brother mentioned it. We don't have because we don't ask. May we ask. And when we ask about real things and serious things, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him, the virgin. The daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice? This is the Lord speaking. And lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. That's what our government has done. That's what the leaders of our land have done. That's what our Supreme Court has done. They have reproached the living God. We're not talking about people that have stolen from somebody else or somebody that's lied on somebody else, has committed crimes against others, which are sin against God. But this is a direct affront to our God. I printed out a copy of it just so we could lay it before the Lord and pray that our Lord would hear the words that they say and that our Lord would move and work and be merciful to us and to our children. Verse number 23, by thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers and of besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities to ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, as the green herb, as the grass of the housetops, and the corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me, the Lord says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in thy nose. You've heard me pray it, and some of you brethren have too. And I believe, I pray that the Lord will save the leaders of our land, or I pray the Lord will thwart them in their wickedness. I've not been praying that lately, and I need to pray that more. Because you know what? The Lord can take a hook and put it in their nose and turn them right now. You and I, and we have no desire to be physical with any man. We read it. Our warfare is not physical, but it's spiritual. We desire the harm of no one, but I pray God will change their hearts or put hooks in their noses and draw them away from their wickedness. And verse number 28, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and the second year that which springeth of the same. And the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof, because all the desolation by the siege and the war. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and they that escape out of the mount of Zion, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. We'll not read any more about that. We should pray that our Lord will work and save. And you know what? We need to lay our distresses before the Lord our God. It's the Lord that they have reproached and blasphemed. I thank you for staying with me. In conclusion, our text verse reads in 1 Corinthians 7:26, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. We've got a present distress, brothers and sisters, and may we do what we have before us to do. You know, that's what we're responsible for. That's what I'm responsible for. That's what you're responsible for, is to do what we're able to do. Tell you what, we need to be crying out to our elected officials about this. We have that to do. We need to be looking. We've got elections coming up, and we need to use the stewardship that we've been given in our citizenry to vote for as much as we can officials that'll go a godly, moral way. That's what we need to do. We need to support the government. Our governor is one of 12 governors and others that have stood against this thing just since Friday. And I tell you what, we need to support him in it. We need to support them in it. As we read in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. I tell you what, if they're against God, we need to stand against them. We need to stand for the Lord and His truth. And 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress, the apostle writes, by your faith. The apostle writes that about the church at Thessalonica. When he, being afflicted and distressed, they stood up. They stood up. They were faithful to be an aid and a help to him. They stood up and prayed for them. How does the Lord and will the Lord see us? Will our faith in this present distress and other distresses that are at hand, will the Lord look on at our faith in them and see us stand? May the Lord help us. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 8, or 18, verse number 8, again, I mentioned this passage earlier, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? We can see how the question is at hand, will there be any of the Lord's people being faithful unto him when he comes? I know there will be. There'll be a remnant. I pray to God it'll be us. Amen? May we pray for ourselves, and may we pray for our leaders. In Acts chapter 2, and this is the last verse, to you that are here and not saved, I tell you what, you have no help and no hope in this earth, in this world, in the government of this world. And I'm not talking treason or treachery or anarchy, but there is no hope in this wicked world for you. The only way you can have any hope, you can have everlasting hope, is in Christ. And listen to what our brother, one verse that our brother preached here there on that day of Pentecost, and this applies to us today. Peter declares, and with many other words, verse number 40, Acts 2:40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, are you here and saved? If you're not saved, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That word untoward, we don't use that word often. But you know what it means? It means perverse. And our generation is indeed perverse. That word untoward means twisted, warped in thinking. Madness has prevailed. Craziness is at hand. No sense, no reckoning, no reasoning of truth and of morality from God. Wicked ways and wicked pursuits that just fall on their faces and yield more nastiness and collateral damage. And in regards to our nation, expense, and we have no return for it whatsoever. Madness. If you're here and you're not saved, save yourself from this untoward generation. It's our Lord Jesus. You know what? He says, come unto me. Our Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He'll save you. Repent of your sins and believe in him. Trust in him and his gospel for the salvation of your soul.